If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at some scripture this evening. And one other thing I want to say about the reservation, I didn't mention this, but I think the last time I was here, they were building the casino. A reservation is like many other reservations right now. They have a casino. And that has brought more problems than benefit to the reservation. And but the employment is really pretty good for those who are able to be employed, that can pass drug tests or some of the other things that they have to be able to pass. But there is the problem of alcohol and drugs being on the reservation. And that's true of any reservation. And I dare say that it's true of any community today. It is a problem. We live in a dark age. And so we just covet your prayers that young people will be able to not succumb to those temptations on the reservations, to follow what their parents have followed. And so I trust that you'll make that a matter of prayer as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll have to turn to it myself. But in the 1800s, actually January 6th of 1850, there was a small group of believers that gathered at their church, but there was a storm, a winter storm that was going on, and it was one of those storms that many of the people couldn't get out to the church. And after a period of time, one of the men stood up and he read this verse, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And after they had this prayer, or this man gave this prayer, they probably closed in prayer and dismissed the meeting. They realized that because of the storm, the pastor would not even make it to the meeting. And one of the things that all of us need to learn is that you don't know what you might say or what you might give a word of encouragement to somebody or share a scripture message to somebody, a scripture verse, that what it might say, speak to them and them coming to faith in Christ. We have a responsibility. And I think sometimes all of us ask the question, can God use me? I went through that myself when we were at our home church in Indiana, and Beverly and I both felt, because it was a very mission-minded church, God speaking to us about doing something special for him. We were involved in the church. We were involved in junior church and some of the other things. But we just felt that pull more and more. And as a result of that, I saw that there was a need. Matter of fact, you know, Brother Dave Ford, who was director of our mission for some time. And we would have missionaries in our home. And we begin to pick their brain. Why did you go to the mission field? What was it that led you to the mission field? And I would search the scripture, and I was searching the scripture that told Gary Messick to go to the mission field, and I couldn't find it. I didn't find my name in there specifically to tell me to go, but I found a lot of other scriptures that said I should. And so this is one of the things that I want you to understand this evening, that God can use you and God wants to use you. And the other thing that I think we need to understand, not only do we need to see that God wants to use us, he's commanded in his scriptures that we are used of him. We're commanded to go. It's not an option. You and I live in a dark world today. And there are people all around us that are dying, and they don't have a hope of eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. They do have an eternal destiny, but it's not with our Savior. And you and I need to be burdened for the lost people around us today. And this verse that was given was a 15-year-old boy that he went into the church. He saw a light in the church, and he wanted to get out of the cold. And he slipped in the door, and he kind of sat in the back. None of the people there really recognized him in the church. But that 15-year-old boy was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon made this comment. He said, "Do what you do right thoroughly, pray over it heartily, and leave the results to God." And that's what we have to do. When you and I feel that God is speaking to our heart, we need to do what He wants us to do. And then we need to pray over that and leave the results in God's hands. You and I can't save anybody. Only God can do that. But you and I have the responsibility to give Him the message. And so in 1 Corinthians, if you're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse 26. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. And Paul, if anybody had a reason not to serve the Lord, it could be possibly Paul. But in beginning in verse 26, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring unto naught the things that are." And then I want you to go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we are familiar with the Apostle Paul. We're familiar with his journey on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And in verse 1, there, of chapter 9, he says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled, astonished, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do." And when we read this story, I want you to go ahead and drop down to verse 10 now. It says, "And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bring my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, to ask for your help. Lord, I pray that my words would not be remembered tonight, but your words would be. I pray that what we say and what you have for us tonight through your word would challenge us, would convict us, would draw us closer to you, that we would do the things, Lord, that you would have us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Every time we read this story about Paul, I think it's something that would kind of amaze us in what this man was and how God, in his grace, began to work in the heart and the life of this man. Truly, Saul was a very unlikely candidate, if we would put it maybe in human terms. He persecuted the church. He was a vile man in that sense. He wanted to keep the law and live in that way, but yet he did not want to follow this so-called Jesus. And so we hear the Christians, they feared this man. They feared what he had been doing in the past and what his desire was. Yet we need to see that God reached down and God saved Paul. Sometimes you and I, we look around the world today and we look around our neighborhoods or wherever, and we see people and we get in our mind, God can't use that person. That person isn't worth trying to witness to or share the gospel with. And so we get in our mind certain ideas about individuals. But God says he came to save the lost. All of us here this evening, maybe there'll be somebody here tonight that's never come to faith in Christ. But all of us, whether if you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, one time you were lost and you were without hope. And so we need to see that's why God came. He came to seek and to save the lost. So God used Paul in a mighty way in his ministry. Many of the things that we can see how God used Paul in a mighty way. He was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We ought to be thankful for that. He's the one that we have most of the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. And how God used him in that day, God still uses him today in his word that was left for us to read. Now, we may feel that sometimes there's no possible way that God can use us. We think that there's just too much baggage in my life. How can God use me? I've not been to maybe college or seminary or Bible's college or something like that. And we begin to wonder, well, you know, I just don't have the ability to serve the Lord. Well, listen, if you're here and you're saved, God wants to use you. God has a plan for your life, and God wants to use you. And just as God did mighty things in the life of Paul, I dare say we probably won't be anything like Paul. None of us will, but yet Paul has set an example for us to follow. God has used Paul in a mighty way. Now, I want you to understand tonight that God can use you. God can use you in ways that I think about Beverly and I. And I think about, I never dreamed. When I first went out to Arizona, I was a maintenance man at a mission. That's what I was. And it wasn't long before that, that 4 years or 5 years later, during that time, God began to work in my heart. You need to be more used on the reservation. You need to have a heart. And we began to have a heart for the Indian people. It wasn't just watering grapefruit grove and mowing grass. God had another plan and purpose. And as God began to work in our lives, it wasn't long before we said, okay, God, we'll leave this and we'll go and we'll begin to work with Brother DeFord. And as we spent time with Brother DeFord, another 5 years went by. And God began to push us away again. And he says, it's now time for you to start a church where there's no independent church going on. And we began to look to where God might use us. And God led us to Camp Verde and to work with the Yavapai Apache. The first thing we did was start with Bible studies with young people and families, parents. And so God wants to use us, and God will begin to use us as we yield and submit to his guidance and his direction. Now, I want us to consider three things. Well, maybe four, depending on time. What time are we supposed to be done, Pastor? Whenever. 10 o'clock, all right? No, we won't go that long. First of all, I want you to consider your past condition. Your past condition prior to your salvation, that's no obstacle for God. Your past condition, sometimes we get locked into that past condition. We say, well, I can't be used of God. God can't use me. And it doesn't make, sometimes it's that way with middle-aged or older people and not necessarily with younger people. But yet we get in that mindset that God can't use me. But that's no obstacle for God. Look at Paul. That was no obstacle for God. God miraculously changed this man. And God used him in a mighty way. And so that's not something that is an obstacle for God. I want you to go to 1 Timothy. 1. And drop down to verse 13. Here we have a story about Paul giving his testimony. And he says we'll start in verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And by the grace of our Lord, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which shall hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here we see the Apostle Paul, and he said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, that's what the Bible says. There's no errors in the Bible. And I think that's true. That's what he was seeing himself. But probably some of us, if we were saved later in life, couldn't look back at that life. And even the young people who got mixed up in drugs or immorality or some of those things and look into their life and they say, "How, you know, I must be the chief of sinners." They see what their life was in the past. But yet God can change a life. That's what we need to understand, that when we see people that are mixed in those things in life, we need to understand God can change a life. Well, that's just the way it is, and we give up on them. No, we can't do that. And so we see that Paul was a murderer. He was a rebel. Listen, every one of us, according to Romans, was a rebel before God. The Bible says we were at enmity with God. And so he was a rebel. But yet we need to see that there are no obstacles to God's grace. There's no obstacles to God's grace. We look out on the reservation at time and we see a lot of heartache, a lot of difficulties, a lot of people that are dying and going to hell. And we have to have a burden for those people. If we go and we don't have a burden for those people, we're spending useless time. We're just spinning our wheels. And we're just drawing money as a missionary to live a life. But we're not doing anything for God. We have to have a burden for people. Listen, your past is no obstacle for God. No matter what your past is, it's not an obstacle for God. God wants to use you. A lot of people that want to rewrite the history today for political reasons. And sometimes we think about our own personal life. Listen, what went on yesterday and from the time of our birth, that's history. And that can't change. Our failures, that doesn't change. I want to consider three things that can hinder us from serving the Lord. First of all, the record in your mind. What you think of yourself. And this can be at any age. But especially those who maybe got saved later in life. And that back history that we have in our own mind, our own failures, our own wickedness. And because of that past history in our lives, that past memory, it hinders us from stepping out and doing what God wants us to do. Go to Philippians. Book of Philippians chapter 3. And drop down to verse 13. Paul writing again. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing," what's the next two words? "I do." He doesn't say, "I leave that for the pastor to do. I didn't leave that for the other disciples to do." He says, "I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." What you and I have to do in that battle for the mind, we have to come to the realization that if we've come to faith in Christ, it's under the blood. God has forgiven it. It's under the blood. Past, present, future. It's been taken care of through Jesus Christ. And so we need to put it away. Not let it hinder us, this mind that we have of all the bad that's there. And reach forth, he says in verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul wanted to win things for Christ. He wanted to win souls for Christ. That was his desire. He says, "I press toward the mark." We can have one of these young people come up, and we won't do it, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we can have somebody come up here. I've done it in our church, and I hold my hand out, and I say, "You press. You push against my hand." and they're, well, they're, you know, they're pushing away and everything, and I'm just holding them. See, Paul said, I press. It takes effort. It takes effort. It takes a commitment. I'm gonna press toward the mark. I'm gonna do what God called me to do. Another thing that hinders us from stepping out for God, the second thing, is the record by all those who know us before we were saved. I remember I went back to our 50th anniversary for my high school class. What's that? Okay. Our 50th anniversary, all right, our high school, when we graduated, graduation class. And so prior to that, there was a young man in our class, Ralph, and Ralph was, he was just, he was quick with little quips. And I talked to him later on. I hadn't realized that, but he trusted Christ as his Savior, and we rejoiced in that. And one of the times, probably one of the first times we went back, why, he would gather some of the kids in our class at a restaurant, and we would meet there for breakfast. And so we'd meet there for breakfast, and some of them were talking and everything, and I began to share what we did, what people remember about our past. And I said, well, I'm a missionary. We work with the Native Americans. I'm a pastor. You're what? They remember my past. And see, some of those things hinder us from stepping out and doing the things that God wants us to do. Hindered us from stepping out, thinking about those things that knew what we once were. But the Bible says, when we come to faith in Christ, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There needs to be a change. Doesn't mean we become perfect. We're still sinners saved by grace. But yet there needs to be a change. And part of that change is not only living right, but doing right. And part of our doing right is sharing the gospel with those around us. The third thing is the record that Satan has about our past. I don't want to embarrass you or have you raise your hands, but I'm sure that every one of us has experienced in our time as walking with the Lord and hearing the Lord speak to us about maybe going witnessing to a neighbor or someone, or just stepping out for the Lord, and we hear Satan speaking about, oh, you can't do that. You remember what you once were? You remember what you did? Even as a Christian, you remember how you messed up yesterday? You can't do that. People won't believe you. And because of what Satan does and how he attacks us, over in Ephesians chapter 6, we're to put on the whole armor of God. We're to walk with him. We're to trust him and allow him to lead and direct in our lives. The Bible says that in Ephesians 6, Satan wants to shoot those fiery darts at us. As he shoots those fiery darts at us, he wants to keep us beaten down. He wants us to keep us from stepping out for the Lord and doing the things that God wants us to do. And so not only does he do that, but I want you to go to, well, you don't have to go, for sake of time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Well, Satan is like a roaring lion. He seeketh about those who he may devour. And I dare say that, and I'm speaking to myself more tonight than you, but before we come to faith in Christ, Satan knew what we were. And Satan wants to attack us. He wants to devour us and keep us from stepping out and doing the things that God wants us to do. We think about somebody that God lays on our heart to witness to. Satan said, you can't do that. Hey, they won't listen to you. They won't listen. Listen, just as Spurgeon said, we go and we pray before we go, and we leave the results in God's hands. But yet we're to go. See, God gets the results. God accomplishes those things. Listen, I can remember my past. My friends, my family, they remember my past. Satan surely remembers my past. But God has forgotten my past. He's forgotten your past. If you're a Christian, it's under the blood. That's why we need to step out. Our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he wants to use us. The Bible uses many people in the Bible. And in spite of their failures, God used them in a mighty way. Moses killed a man. And yet God used him to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. God told him and Moses wanted to argue with God when God called him. He wanted to argue with God. Well, I'm not eloquent of speech. You know, I do the same thing sometimes, stammer and those things. But God said, gave up on him. He didn't give up on him, but he said, what should I do? And he said, what's in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, you just use your staff. And he used that staff. He said, throw it on the ground. It became a serpent. He told him to pick it up again. We know the story of how he used it. And see, God wants to use the things in your life and the things in my life, those abilities that he gives us to accomplish the things he wants us to do. Peter preached the greatest message on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved. That's just the men. But yet, that was after he denied his Lord. See, Satan wants to keep us, our mind wants to keep us from doing the things that God wants us to do. Abraham, he lied when he went down to Egypt. And yet God used him. Jacob was a deceiver. And yet God used him. He transformed him in a mighty way. And God used his life. The Bible's full of people that God uses that are surrendered to him. And you and I need to understand, in this day in which we live, we had no choice of our birth. We don't have any choice of our death. We're here for a specific amount of time, and God wants us to use us in that amount of time that we have. Your past condition is not an obstacle. The second thing is, your present circumstances are not an obstacle. Sometimes we think about the circumstances that we're in today. Well, I have this to do, I have that to do, and I'm facing this. And we put all those obstacles in our way of serving the Lord. And we need to get beyond the obstacles. God can take care of those things. Paul was on his way to Damascus. But yet, not only was he filled with hate and all of those things, but yet in spite of those things, God began to work in his life and change his life to where he was used in a mighty way. God takes us where we are with all the baggage, all the things that we're carrying. And he removed that at the cross. But some of us keep that bondage or that baggage on our back. And because of that, we limit ourselves as to what God wants to do through our lives. Paul had a lot of baggage. But look how God used him. And you and I need to see that God can use me. That ought to be something that light us up. That ought to be something that wow, God can use me. God could use me to share the gospel with some little Indian kids, some Indian families, to see them to come to faith in Christ. You have missionaries, and that's their desire wherever they're serving. He takes us where we are with all the baggage. But when we come to him, he forgives us and he wants to use us. Not only does he want to use us, but he wants to help us to see that there's joy in serving him. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And I'm not here for that reason. But I can remember back to the first person that I led to the Lord. I wish there was a lot more sense. I really do. But I can remember that night I led a lady to the Lord. I don't know where she's at today. I don't know if she's serving the Lord. But I truly believe I'll see her one day in heaven. And there's just an excitement and a joy that if you've done that, you know what I mean. You understand that joy. Again, the Bible is filled with these examples of how God can use us. Go to 2 Corinthians. We need to finish up here. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 10. It says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive it in the person of Christ. I was in chapter 2. My eyes are messing me up. Okay, chapter 10, verse 10. For his letter says, they are weighty and powerful, but his body's present is weak, and his speech contemptible. Sometimes we might be around people that their language is not good. And that we might try to share the gospel with some and they begin to maybe even curse us, challenge us. I remember one time on the reservation when we were serving Dave down at the Baptist Indian Chapel, we went and there was one section there that we would pass. We lived in Chandler, so we would have to drive out to the reservation. And so we picked up some children in this little community. And I remember one house that we went to, there was a little girl or a little boy, I don't remember for sure which, but I think it was a little girl. But she would come and she would get in a van. And we began to go out on Saturday to make those calls. And I remember this one guy that he had the long hair like some of the Indians had there. But he come to the door. I could tell that he was involved in drinking and some of those things that they were addicted to. But he come to the door, and he turned toward me so I could see he had a great big knife on his belt. He wanted me to see that knife. And I just glanced at it. But normally, I would have been scared. I would have thought, I hope he doesn't pull that thing out of his sheath. But, you know, for some reason, I was just calm. And, you know, God is in control, and he helps us. He gives us that peace that you and I need when we're sharing the gospel. A person's characteristics are no obstacle. We shouldn't be controlled by our abilities. It shouldn't control us. So we need to be willing to go out and not allow those things. Just as Paul even mentioned that I didn't speak eloquently. I appreciate that's in there. It helps me a little bit. But he didn't speak eloquently, so he had a problem, kind of like Moses did. Moses was making excuses. Paul was just making a statement. I didn't speak eloquently. Bible says that very possibly some believe in the Galatians that he had poor eyesight. But he didn't use those as excuses not to go. And so these are the things that we need to understand in our personalities and our individual abilities, that's not an obstacle with God. He can help us through those things. Remember about how God uses people. God used Moses. I mentioned that earlier. Daniel, a young boy, a young teenage boy, and God used him. God used Daniel when he was taken in bondage to say, I don't want to eat the king's meat. It's been offered to idols. Just give me the vegetables. Check me out in 10 days and see if I'm not better off. He used three young boys to say, I'm not going to bow the knee to Baal, the king. I'm going to stand up. I don't care if God sees me through this. I don't care if you throw me into the fire. I'm not going to bow. And all of a sudden the king looked. I thought there were three we threw in there. And I see another that looks like the Son of God. See, what God carries us through. God watches over us. He helps us. I got to quit. I want you to go to one other passage. If this will quit. I want you to go to Mark chapter 5. I'm sure you remember the story that we're going to look at. Briefly, Mark chapter 5. Drop down to verse 18. Here we see the Lord's victory over demons. And the demonic there, Gennarius. We know the story of how he cast those demons out of this man that no man could control. Drop down to verse 18. Here, God saved this man. This man was restored into his right mind. The Bible says that he was clothed, sitting in his right mind. And it says in verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, this is when Jesus went back to the ship that he had been, that had been possessed with devils, prayed that he might be with the Lord. All of us need to learn that we need to walk with the Lord. We need to depend upon the Lord each and every day. He explained that in teaching call the Lord's Prayer. I call it a teaching prayer, how we do pray. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. And it shows us how daily we need to depend upon the Lord for everything. Not just food, but everything. And so he says here, this demonic, he's sitting there and he prayed that he might be with him. He wanted to stay with the one that saved him, to stay with the one that changed him from being possessed of devils to one of a sound mind. And so not only did he change him, but we can understand why this man wanted to stay with the Lord Jesus. But what did Jesus tell him? He says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And he had compassion on him. That's what the Lord tells us to do. He doesn't save us and said, you're on your way to heaven, and now just sit back and enjoy the ride. What he says, just as he told this man, he said, you go back and tell your friends, you go back and tell others what Christ has done for you. Sometimes I think we get in our mind that I can't talk to other people that way. Listen, sometimes they say that I just don't know how to be that kind of a witness. Listen to me. If you're here tonight and you got saved, you ought to know how you got saved. And it might have been just John 3:16. Well, if you know John 3:16, share John 3:16. But as time goes on and learn some other verses and how you can be an encouragement to others and challenge others. The key to it is surrender. Surrender. Are you surrendered to the Lord's will in your life? Are you surrendered to be the witness that God wants you to be? I want to share a verse. We sang this tonight, and I'm going to quit, but we sang this song tonight, Brother Fox. 460. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read one of this portion of this one verse. Verse 2, he says, about the middle way, may every passing moment count for eternity. Souls all about are dying, dying in sin and shame. Help me bring them the message of Calvary. I trust that's maybe your prayer tonight, or maybe just a challenge, that you recognize the responsibility that we all have, whether we're in Wayland, Missouri, Cape Verde, Arizona. We have a responsibility. God's left us here for a reason and to be used of Him, and not to allow those things that want to hold us back. Let's pray.